You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Father, we just thank you so much tonight for your goodness, for your mercy, for your tender loving kindness towards us. We're so grateful, Father, that you are our very own Father, and we are your very own children, and you have something that you want to say to us tonight by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here to open up the scriptures to us and show us wondrous things through your word. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not our hearts burn within us as he opened up to us the scriptures. So open to us the scriptures tonight. We thank you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of your word that you want us to hear tonight. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened in your word tonight that you're sharing with us. I thank you that we do trust in you with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we acknowledge you and you will direct our paths tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Well, last Wednesday, I got to minister to you regarding praying for the pastor, and this is praying for the pastor part two. And so we're going to do a quick review, because if I don't do a quick review, we'll be here for a minute. What we talked about last week, we looked in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 11. And it says that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And what gifts did he give? It's listed in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we labeled these, or these are often called the fivefold ministry gifts. And then the gift, we said that the gift that we are most often come in contact with is the office of pastor, or the gift of the pastor. And we also talked about how that no other gift in the Bible that it talks about in more detail than this particular gift. And this gift we talked about is for us. Jesus gave this gift to us. And so that's his gift to you. In Jeremiah 3:15, he said, I will give you shepherds or pastors according to my own heart who would feed you with knowledge. And we said that word knowledge was the knowledge of God and understanding, to give instruction and to make wise and skillful and to prosper. That word understanding means to give instruction, to make wise and skillful and to prosper. We also looked at that, used our hand as the office of apostle is the thumb. The prophet is the index finger. Thank you. The middle finger is the evangelist because it reaches the furthest. Ring finger is the pastor because they marry it to the sheep. And then the little pinky finger is the teacher because he gets in your ear. And then all the others are more of a roaming ministry, but the office of pastor, they stay with you. The other ones love you and leave you. And they go on to another sheepfold, and you know, week to week or month to month or however they do that. But the office of pastor stays with us. And so there's just a difference in calling and equipment that God puts in them. We talked about how to care for the gift. We talked about receiving the gift, that when you're given a gift, you have to receive it. We talked about valuing it and honoring it and esteeming the gift. And we looked at scripture regarding all of that. We talked about praying for the gift. We looked at 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. And then at the end, we thank God for the gift that we received. And so then at the end, we prayed for them. You know, whenever someone's up here, primarily our pastors, of course, we want to maximize on them. We want to maximize on the gift that they are, and we want to get everything out of them that we're supposed to receive. Amen. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about praying for them scripturally. So because the Apostle Paul, he had so much demand on him, and we're going to look at two main scriptures in Ephesians and Romans tonight. But he had so much demand on him regarding the mystery that he was to reveal to the body of Christ regarding Christ and the church. And so you know that he talked about, you know, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him or stop him from revealing this great revelation that he had. And so he asked or talked to the churches at Ephesus and at Roman, and in Romans, to pray for him. So let's look at there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is Paul talking in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 30 through 32, and then we'll break these down a little bit. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. So in looking at these two prayers, and Paul is requesting that they pray for him, we can gain some insight about how we're to pray for our pastors or our spiritual leaders today. And so just, you know, I'm going to take a few minutes and look at these. And so things to pray for them scripturally. So let's look at the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians 6. So one of the things that he mentions in this book of Ephesians is to pray for is a door of utterance, or pray for utterance for them. Utterance is just a divine revelation from God, something that's not in their head, not something that they've not studied out, something that, is not in their college books or what have you. It's a divine revelation coming from God. So when our leaders are up ministering, we want them to hear from heaven on our behalf. Amen. And bring fresh revelation to us. And, so in Ephesians 18, it says, praying always. So we want them to talk to God. And you know, he's saying, praying always, let it be a flow of your life. Let it be a flow of their life that they talk to the Father. And with all prayer and supplication, he said, and pray for me. Paul told them to pray. I just find it interesting that he knew the magnitude of what was going on in his life, and he knew he couldn't do it alone. And he needed support. He needed help to get out this mystery of Christ in the church, which we're still living by that revelation today. And so there was foes without, foes within. He's bobbing up and down in the deep. If you go over and read 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, I believe it is, he talks about all these things that came against him. He was left for dead 3 times. I was praying with someone yesterday, and we talked about how he was on the island of Malta, and that snake bit him, and he just shook it off. Hallelujah. I don't know that I would have shook a snake off, you know, but he just shook it off into the fire and preached Christ to them. And I was listening to someone recently, and they had been to Malta, and they said in Malta, the city of Malta, the nation of Malta, that it is, there's the largest group of Christians per capita than any other nation in the world. They're still living on the revelation that they received from Paul in Malta today. The largest group of Christians per capita in any nation in the world. And that's where he, remember, on his way in that ship, that's where he was headed. That's where he was going. And on that island, he preached Christ unto them. Hallelujah. And even after he got out of the sea, a snake tried to bite him. So this deep revelation of Christ in the church, he got to minister to them. So he knows that I need help getting this mystery out. I need some comrade in arms, so to speak, to help me. Another place he talks about in Colossians 3 and 4, he says, with all praying also for us. So again, he's asking people to pray for him, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I'm also in bonds, that I might make manifest as I ought to speak. So as we pray for our pastors, if we pray for spiritual leader, we want them to that revelation to come forth. We want that utterance to come forth that is supposed to come forth for us. Number two, one of the things that we ask for, and this is not in Ephesians, but is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 and 27, it says, we have an unction from the Holy One within, and you know all things. And then in verse 27, it says, and that anointing teaches you. So while they're up ministering, they're being led and guided in the orchestration of the service in that unction, but they're also teaching you under that anointing. And when they're teaching us under that anointing, what happens is, even though they're saying things out of their mouth, there could be things that are happening where the Holy Ghost is teaching you on the side, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Some things that might be pertaining to you or concerning you, and you hear them talk about finances and you're concerned about your marriage, or you and the Holy Ghost ministers to you regarding that. And you know, very often pastors had people come up and say, hey, I really appreciate you saying such and such, and they didn't say it, but the anointing did. That was teaching them. Amen. Hallelujah. So when they're up here, when we pray for them, for that anointing to come on them, I don't want to just hear things out of people's heads. Amen. Even though they may be good people, but I want to hear from the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, it comes through trusted people that you know, that you're trusting your life with, you know, spiritually to lead and guide you. But at the same time, you want to hear from heaven what they have to dispense unto us. Number three. So number one was praying for utterance. Number two was praying for unction. Number three, in Ephesians 6:19, again, it says that God would open their mouth. That God would open their mouth. So Paul said, pray for me that God would open up to us a door of utterance. So that God would open their mouths. In Colossians 4 again, oh, that was Colossians 4:3, that God would open to us a door of utterance. In Ephesians, it talks about that I may open my mouth boldly. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter, when he was up on the housetop, and he came down and all of that, and Cornelius sent this crew to come get him, he prayed that he would open his mouth. He said he spake and opened his mouth, and then when he opened his mouth, the Gentile nations were reached for God. Him on the housetop praying, God, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not eating them pork and beans. I'm not eating bacon. I'm not eating. But an offering came up to God from Cornelius' house that God had to answer. And so God sent Peter. He was teaching him ahead of time, really, that you're preparing and getting ready for the people who are without Christ or outside of the covenant of Israel, and getting ready to bring those folks in. So when he opened his mouth, Cornelius and his whole family received Christ when he opened his mouth. Isn't that something? So we're praying for them that God would open up a door of utterance to them, that that they will open their mouth, and that, you know, in opening their mouth, they will reach the unsaved. When they open their mouth. Number four, pray for boldness. In this same scripture in Ephesians, it says, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly. You know, a lot of times people think boldness is just a personality type. But there's sometimes a boldness. Think about Samson. I would say in his death, boldness came upon him. Amen. He said, Lord, let me kill more people in my death than I did in life. And he couldn't just do that on his own. Something came on him, that the spirit of might came on him to cause that to happen. Well, a lot of times with people, personality might be shy. And sometimes the Lord shows people things that it's hard to say. Now, you know, if the Lord is talking to a pastor or a spiritual leader to minister to you that, you know, God's going to do a great thing on your job, you're going to get a promotion, money is coming, you know, ooh, we like that. It doesn't take a whole lot of boldness for that. But when they show things that need to be corrected, sometimes it's not as easy to speak out boldly. Brother Hagin talked about that he went to minister somewhere, and he was standing in front of this lady, and she was a nurse. I think I've told this story several years ago, but she was a nurse, and when he stood in front of her, the Lord told him something about her, and he's thinking, he knows in his natural mind that she's a leader, that she's a prominent person in that church. And so what he's hearing is not gelling with what he knows in the natural. So he hesitated to address it. Well, the pastor noticed that he stopped and he hesitated. So at dinner, he asked him, he said, "Brother Hagin, I noticed when you got to so-and-so that you hesitated and that did the Lord say something to you regarding her?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "It seems to me that she is, she's in the medical field and that she's peddling drugs. She's stealing drugs from her job and selling them." And so he said, "I just didn't know how to approach it. I just didn't know how to address it." So he said something to the pastor, but it never really got corrected with her. Well, what started happening was, law enforcement or what have you started investigating and unfolded that deal. And with her being a part of that church, it affected the church, and the church ended up closing up. So why do we pray for boldness? Because it affects people's lives. It may be grievous at the moment. It may have been hard for him even at the moment to say something. But because things were left unsaid or undone, the destinies of those people in that town were affected because of it. And so we pray for boldness for them to have courage to step out and say those things. Several years ago when we were over at the A-Frame, I don't know if Ted might remember this. It was on a Wednesday night. And so pastor is standing, in front of the praise and worship team. And so normally what happens is, just like tonight, when Ted gets done, he kind of nods or yields to, whoever's ministering. And so he kept looking at pastor and he just kept singing. And then pastor never looked up Ted just kept singing. And so what started happening was, pastor had them turn his microphone on, and he kept facing this way. What the Lord was downloading into him was that someone, a couple, or who were not married to each other, met somewhere that day where they're not supposed to. And so he was arguing with the Lord about getting it out. And so his resolve was he wasn't going to turn around and say it, so he just faced this way. And said it. But he said it. Why? Because it affects people's lives. And it got corrected. That's why we pray for boldness. Because, God shows them things. Oh, this one coming up. Dr. Ed Dufresne, some of y'all might know who he was. He went to heaven in 2014, I believe it was. 2013. And he was in a service one time, and he was sitting there, and they were doing praise and worship and what have you, and the Lord said, "There are three couples in here, they're swapping spouses." And he said, "I want you to deal with it." He said, "That ain't none of my business. You deal with it." That's what he said to the Lord. And and the Lord said, "I'm telling you, and you deal with it." And so, would it take boldness to deal with that? Oh, yeah. So when he stood up and took the pulpit, and he had two guys that traveled with him, and he leaned over and told them, he said, "The Lord just told me this. There are three couples in here, and they're swapping spouses with one another." He said, "You go find one, and I'll find the other one." And they're going, "Oh, my God." He's making me part and lot in this matter, And so he gets up to the podium and he said, "During worship, the Lord told me that there are three couples in here that are swapping spouses. And he told me to call you out and let's deal with it." And so immediately a couple on this side stood up. Okay, because the guy started walking that direction, And then the other guy started working in another direction, and the folks were a little hesitant. And so he said, "Don't make me come get you. I know who you are." And so the third couple just refused. So he walked down the aisle and went and stood in front of them, and he said, "It's you." And the man said, "No, it's not." And he said, "Yes, it is." And so they got this argument going back and forth, and finally the guy yielded. So why did God deal so publicly with that? Because obviously, privately, or doing services, or during their devotional time, or something, they were not listening. So he had to do something very demonstrative to get their attention. But it takes boldness to do that. Amen? And, you know, the risk of not being liked, not getting an offering, you know, but you have to trust that people care about you when that happens. Amen? Hallelujah. And you may say, I don't want to pray for boldness if those things are going to happen. Well, if we just walk straight, it won't affect us in that way. Amen? You know, and if it is affecting you, you just look straight. And you get home, fall across the bed, God, that was me. Amen? Hallelujah. But we want those utterances to come forth. We want that boldness to come forth. Amen? So, because God is trying to get our attention, and he doesn't want destruction to come into our lives. So he's doing those things to get our attention, to pull us in the right direction, help us to make those adjustments in our lives, so that we can have the fruitfulness and victory in our lives that he wants for us. Amen? Well, I didn't mean to go down all of that rabbit trail, but it's all for free. You can have that. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God. Let's see here. All right. So boldness was number four. Number five, that the word of God would have free course. You know, and I don't know if you've ever done public speaking before or ministered before, but sometimes when you're up ministering, it sounds like the words are coming out of your mouth and hitting the back wall, like a tennis ball coming back to you. And you can tell that the word is not getting in people's hearts like it needs to. So very often, weekly for me, pray that the word of God has free course. So there's nothing that's hindering the word of God when it's being preached. There's not distractions that are going on in the room that hinders people from hearing and receiving the word of God. That, you know, people are not mocking. Because we had that happen one time over at the A-frame that I remember. Pastor's up ministering and someone is mocking what he's saying. I don't believe that. That's not right. You know, that kind of thing. And he could hear them. And so just in the middle of his message, this is where boldness comes in. In the middle of his message, he goes, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And if you can't straighten up, you get out. And shortly after that, the person got up and walked out. But you feel like sometimes your words are just not going where it needs to. Not landing in the hearts that we need to. Sometimes it may be us. Our hearts may be fallow ground that needs to be broken up. And so they may need to say it another way or go around a different way to explain it so that we could go, ah, I get it. I see that. I understand now. So there could be any kind of condition of our hearts that hinder us. So we want the word to have free course to enter or land in our hearts the way it's supposed to. Sometimes you can look out and people are sitting like this when you're preaching the word. That ain't me. I don't understand that. That don't make no sense. I don't believe that. And you know people are not receiving the word that you're ministering. Just keep looking this way. Just keep looking. Hallelujah. So that the word of God may have free course, that there will be freedom and liberty. We sang about freedom tonight, that the word of God should be free to flow in here. You know, and I understand sometimes if you come from a background where you've been taught the traditions of men or doctrines of devils even, you got to get this squared up in your head to receive what you're hearing, because you might have been taught all your life that healing died with the apostles. But he's saying or she's saying healing is for you today, right now. And it's not squaring up in your head. So praying for free course is for understanding for us that we receive that word. Amen? Hallelujah. So number five is praying for free course, that the word of God has free course. Number six, that the word of God be glorified. We don't want individuals glorified. So that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, the one that with free course is 2 Thessalonians 3:1 as well. So that the word of God would be glorified, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brother, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. We want the word of God magnified. We want the word of God lifted up. It's the primary thing. Now, like Sunday night, we had an entire service that was a worship service. It was designed that way, that we come in and we just yield our hearts to God and to worship Him. That was the course of the evening. But primarily, when we're here, the Word of God is center stage. It's what's being lifted up, even in our songs when we sing. Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda choose the songs that we sing because they want that word reinforced in our lives. When we go out of here during the week, we're going, freedom. What did Jesus say? You know, he who the sun sets free is free indeed. And you're reinforcing that freedom in your life when you're singing that song. Amen? When we're talking about Him being a way maker. We're reinforcing the Word of God in our life by singing that song. And then, and so the Word of God is being glorified. The Word of God is being magnified. So when we come together, verse number 6, is that the Word be glorified. That, Paul said, that I be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. That I be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't know all the things that go on behind the scenes with pastors or ministers, you know. And we all got our stuff that we're dealing with. But, you know, a lot of times they're dealing with our stuff and their stuff. And a lot of times you don't know it. I can't tell you how many times in 16 years on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning that I've known, you know, things going on behind the scenes, and they get up and you don't know anything. And sometimes I don't know the depth of everything that they're dealing with. But they get up, they come in here, they preach a hot bread message and give it to us where you can melt butter on top of it and eat it, amen? And we leave refreshed and filled and all of that. And then, you know, not knowing. We talk about sometimes in, you know, in getting people to serve in areas. Because they always say, you know, it doesn't look like you need help in that area. Because everything looks like it's going smooth. And I said, yeah, it's supposed to look like that. You never let them see your sweat, right? But nobody notices the legs under the water doing this to get that swan to go across the water. It looks like it's going across so effortlessly and smooth and all of that. But there's a lot of paddling going on underneath to make that happen. So, to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I was listening to a pastor probably about a year ago, and so they were talking about how, well, let me go this direction. Some of you probably know who John G. Lake is. And he had a ministry in Africa, and he had healing homes in Spokane, Washington. And this man came to him and wanted to handle the finances in his ministry. And he didn't know this man very well or anything like that. And he just told the man, no, I'm sorry, we got that area covered and all of that. And because he wouldn't allow, John G. Lake would not allow this man in his ministry, this man started spreading lies about him, that he was mishandling money and all of these kinds of things. And he had 12 families that were in Africa underneath his ministry. And so as things started spreading and what have you, the money started drying up to come in. And so he realized what he needed to do. He needed to go to Africa and talk to these families. And he called a meeting with all the men and the head of the families. And he told them, he said, look, this is what's happening back in the States. And he said, I don't know that I'm going to be able to sustain you and continue to support you to live here in Africa. I just want you to know that. And so they asked him to leave the meeting. And the 12 of them conferred with one another. Then they called him back in and they said, if we and all of our families die here in Africa, we're going to stay here and support the ministry here in Africa until our lives be given up for it. Now, all of this started because of a wicked and unreasonable person starting lies because they couldn't have their way. This is the work of God. And so people don't realize they're not fighting against flesh and blood. Paul was on his way, Saul was on his way to Damascus after the stoning of Stephen. And so he's on his way to Damascus to kill more folk. And he thought he was doing God a favor. And on the road to Damascus, a light shone bright above him and knocked him on his keister on the road. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute who? Me." He killed Stephen. Held his coat while they were stoning him to death. Killing other Christians on his way to kill more. "Why are you persecuting me?" And he answered his own question, "Lord, who are you?" He realized, this is the Lord talking to me. And the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So wicked and unreasonable men think they're fighting against this way, but they're really fighting against that way. And God is a good vindicator. Amen. In Isaiah 58:8, it says that he is your rear guard. In the modern day vernacular, he got your back. Amen. Hallelujah. So that they will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, even people stopping, you know, a pastor gets in his heart that, or he or she gets in their heart that they're to build. And then they start going through the congregation saying, "I don't think we need that building. We still got seats in the sanctuary. I don't understand why they're doing that building." You know, I'm not saying that that's happening. I'm just saying I've heard stories about that where pastors are fighting. A pastor in California a few years ago, they were building a building. Then the inspector came to inspect something electrical, I think it was, in the building. And because it just didn't hit them right, the right way, they made them undo everything that they just paid for and do it over again just because she said so. She just didn't like it. And so they had to do that and pay for it because she wouldn't pass it until they made the correction. That's unreasonable and wicked. For no cause, you're going to cause problem for the people of God to stop progress. Hallelujah. And it says, and that they may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. Number 8, that they strive together with it. This is Romans 15:30. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Paul makes the request here that you strive with me. Work with me. Let's do it together. So again, he's asking, I can't do this by myself. I can't do it alone. Help me, strive together with me. And that meaning strive together means together, and carries the meaning of doing something with someone else. And then it means to agonize, indicates intense agony. Anybody remember Jesus being in agony somewhere? Where was he? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony, and said that he sweat what was like great drops of blood because he knew what was ahead of him. And he asked his 3 closest comrades to come away with him and pray, and they fell asleep. Remember that? So in agony, doing something in agony, a violent struggle, to anguish, contending with an enemy, or fighting in a contest together. So when they're going through things, when they're fighting through things, they don't just want support, which is great that we give support. And, you know, and not just, you know, "God bless pastor. God bless, you know, their house, their car, their dog," you know, actual scripture prayers, pray for them. And pray that you had, in Romans 8, it says that we don't always know what to pray for as we ought. So when you pray the scriptures, and when you pray to your understanding, you have the Holy Ghost that helps you how to pray. Amen? And so it says, and Rick Renner helped me with this. He said, Paul was in a great spiritual battle at the time he wrote this prayer request. In fact, the fight was so intense that he felt the need for others to join him in prayer. He didn't want to face this spiritual fight alone. So he opened his heart and asked others to join him in fighting this battle. Hallelujah. So as we pray for our spiritual leader, we stand in faith with them, in the spirit, with them, against whatever's coming against them. Number 9, that Paul said, pray that I be delivered from them that do not believe, in Romans 15:31. Pray that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. And that word delivered there means rescue, deliver, snatch me out of, drag out of danger. So he said, deliver me from those who don't believe. And a lot of time, like this lady that, you know, that was the inspector, she doesn't believe. She's not a believer. And so she's coming in wreaking havoc in the building and causing extra finances from, you know, from the church to be spent unnecessarily because she doesn't believe. She just did it because she had the power to do so. And so it says here, to be rescued, delivered, snatched out of, dragged out of danger. So he asked them to pray for him that he be delivered from those who don't believe. You know, and a lot of times people who don't believe, they don't understand the things of God. They don't understand the things of the kingdom. And so it's foolishness to them. And so if it doesn't make sense in their mind, they can cause havoc or wreak havoc just because in their senses or in their knowledge that they have, they just don't understand. You know, if you don't understand, just back off. Why you want to cause problems? Just back off. You know, and it's not your matter anyway. Hallelujah. That they have been delivered from them who do not believe. Number 10, the word will be received. Romans 15:31, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service, and that word service there is ministry, for Jerusalem may be acceptable. In the Amplified, it says in that verse, acceptable and graciously received by the saints. So when you're praying for them, you want the word to be received that they're giving out. That is not just falling. Their words, it says of Samuel, that his words didn't fall to the ground. That those words be received in their heart. I receive that word into my heart. I receive that. And you may not even always understand the word that's coming forth. But Lord, I don't understand everything, but I receive that word because it's your word that's coming forth. And the Holy Ghost can give you revelation. Ask him, Holy Ghost, I don't understand that, but give me revelation about that. And so in that word receive, Rick Renner says that the word is accepted, pleasing, well received. So what is Paul saying? I want to be well received in the ministry. Paul had a soul just like all the rest of us. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be pleasing, not only to us, but also to his heavenly Father. And it says, Paul desires every word to be spoken correctly and accurately and in a way that pleases God. Furthermore, he wants people to believe in the sincerity of his motives. When he's bringing that, he's not just trying to get something out of you. He's trying to get something into you. And not to question whether he has ulterior motives in speaking to you on behalf of the Lord. Pray that his ministry will be blessed and accepted and that people will receive him and hear his heart. So when people are up, they want you to hear their heart of why they're communicating to you the way that they're communicating you. And what they're trying to do is, we read the scripture in Jeremiah where it says that I will give you pastors after my own heart. We want God's heart to come through them to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Number 11, that I may come. This is Paul again saying that I may come unto you with joy. Romans 15:32, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. So Paul wanted joy in the ministry. So when they come to us to minister to us, we want them to have joy, that they love doing what they do. Amen. Paul wanted to enjoy what he was doing. He came, you know, up against a lot of opposition and all of that, you know, and if you're coming to minister to the people, you don't want to come because you have to. Yeah. It's Sunday morning. Two services, we got Bible Institute, we got Healing School on Tuesday, we got Wednesday night service, and then we start all over again. They want to have joy in what they do. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you want to enjoy what you do for a living? Experts say, find what you enjoy and see if you can make a job out of it. Maybe see if you can make a career out of it, of what you do. And so this is something that, you know, they've been called to, you know, spiritual leaders have been called to. We want them to enjoy what they do. And part of the enjoyment in what they do is seeing our faces light up and the progress of what the Word of God they were doing in our lives going forward in our lives. A few years ago, there was a young minister that pastor, he had been pastoring for a year, and pastor asked him the question. He said, "So, in this last year, what has been the biggest joy in pastoring?" And he said, "Oh man, preaching the word, and then you see people's eyes light up when they get it, when you're preaching, and then they take that word and their lives start transforming, and you see God blessing them, and they're getting stronger, and they're maturing in the things of God. There's nothing better than that." And then he asked him, he said, "So what's the opposite of that?" And he said, "What has been the biggest disappointment?" And he said, "Seeing people that you teach the word to and minister to, and they disregard the word that you minister to them. And you see and know by the Spirit of God that if they make this decision, if they go this direction, that destruction is going to come to them, and they ignore the word. And you see and you know destruction is coming, and they don't yield to it." So the antithesis of that, the opposite of that. And so we want them to have joy, to see progress, to stay with us and see progress happen in our lives. Amen? And have joy of being in the ministry. Number 12, that Paul said that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. We want them to be in the will of God. And that by the will of God there in the Greek is the word design or purpose, plan or will of God. So we want them to be in the will of God. Paul is asking them to pray for him so that he would be in the middle of the will of God for his life. Not doing things to the right or to the left of that, but he's doing everything that he knows to do that's in the will of God. That he's not making mistakes that he has to back up and correct. If you notice, I don't know if you've been here long enough and you've heard Pastor Mark, very rarely does he say, "God told me to do such and such." Because he knows with that capital, he can't use it for everything. Because if he says, "God said, you know, such and such," and that doesn't pan out, you know, you don't have a whole lot of trust the next time he says, "And God said such and such," you know, well, you said it was God and this didn't work out. Is this God? And so you have to be careful in spending that kind of capital with the body of Christ. And so to make less mistakes, you know, we want them to be in the will of God. We want them to know the will of God. And so we pray that they know the will of God because, you know, if you even want to be selfish in it affects you. It affects them, yes, but it affects you. And not only you, it affects those who will believe out of their obedience. Because if they don't stay in the will of God and do what the will of God is, it's not going to prosper. It's not going to move forward. It's not going to be fruitful. So we pray for them to be in the will of God so that all the rest of us follow, if we're supposed to be here, continue in the will of God. Hallelujah. So they stay in God's perfect plan. Number 13, that they might be refreshed. And it's in that same verse in Romans 15:32, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. And that word refreshed is to take rest together with, to give, and to get refreshment. They need refreshment. They need time away from us sometimes to refresh, to hit the reset button, so to speak, to spend time in the presence of God individually, to spend time in the presence of God together, to just rest their bodies. Hallelujah. Don't you like going on vacation? Hallelujah. And, you know, and I pray for them for a supernatural vacation because I know if God can do it for them, hallelujah, I'm in that same line, amen. And hallelujah. So he said, pray for me that I be refreshed. And you know, there are unreasonable and wicked men who think that pastors or preachers should not have vacation. They should not have those kinds of time off and what have you. That whatever crisis is going on in my life is more important than you getting rest. And whatever plan or lack of plan that I made in my life is now your urgent responsibility to help me get out of. And trust me, they love you. They sacrifice for you, and they do it because they love God and because they love you. And that, you know, and there's no complaint about it whatsoever there. But we want them to be at their best. One of the things that I've been praying for them, that they maximize their effectiveness while they still have time before Jesus comes. That they're not spending their time on unimportant or things that they're not supposed to be spending their time on. Amen? Because I'm praying that for me too. You know, God, is this important for you today or this week for me to do this? You know, the things that you think might be important, you ask him about it, he don't care. And things you think are least as important, he wants you to get done. Amen? So for them to know those kinds of things, so that they're refreshed in their body. You think, might think, well, that's a lot of scripture. That's a lot for me to pray for my pastor. Well, Paul even said about us, I make mention of you in my prayers. So if you don't have 30 minutes to sit down, you know, on your way to the arsenal while you're sitting to get in gate 9, instead of listening to Rick and Bubba, guess what you could be doing? Because praying for them benefits us. Call it a selfish prayer. I'm praying for my pastor because it's going to help me. And if nothing else, in Galatians 6:7, it says that whatever you sow, you reap. Amen? Hallelujah. And then just one last thing before we go. I wanted to make mention to you. This ministry gift of the pastor, the one that's married to us, that stays with us through thick and thin, through the high times in our lives, through the low times in our life, to the things, times where things are just kind of, in our life and all of that. I just had in my heart today as I was studying the last couple of days just to ask you to protect your heart regarding your pastors. Pastor Robert on Sunday morning, he mentioned, in his message, pastor walking by somebody and they get mad because pastor didn't see him and didn't speak. You know, protect your heart against offense. Protect your heart against other people's offense. Outside of your relationship with your heavenly father and your spouse or your immediate family, the next most important relationship in your life is your pastor. Why? Because they break the bread into your life. They speak. This is where your mail is coming from. Does God talk to you in your own individual prayer life? Yes. But there's also a safety valve in our life called our pastors, where, again, they're feeding us knowledge, amen, and giving us understanding. So sometimes even when God is talking to you in your own private life, sometimes, is that me or is that God? And then you could bounce it off of them, in conversation, and trust that, God's going to minister to you through them, but we have to keep the weeds out. We have to keep the varmints out, so to speak. Those things that come in and try to mess up your garden regarding them. Sometimes it's the slightest little thing. Like Pastor Robert talked about on Sunday. Well, he didn't speak to me. He probably didn't see you. A lot of times they're this way because they're trying to get the service done. And not that they were ignoring you. They probably didn't notice that you were there because they were on their way to do something else or thinking about the service or praying, trying to keep their heart, and a lot of times we think it's just about us. It is about us, but it ain't all about us. You know what I'm saying? And so, my admonishment would be, I was listening to an interview with a pastor. Someone was doing an interview with them, and they said, what do you see as one of the biggest mistakes that people make in their relationship with their pastor? And they said, undoubtedly, offense. Keep, you know, the boulders out, you know, keep the things that are in there that would try to hinder you from receiving, because again, that's where God is talking to you and receiving. This is where your mail is coming in, you know, from heaven in the services and what have you. And so, you know, if even in a conversation they said something a certain way, you're going, I wonder why they said it that way. Just lift it up to God. God, I don't understand it. I just give that to you. And keep your heart pliable. And keep your heart, you know, soft towards God and towards them. So God can get to you exactly what you need. Amen? Let's stand up. You know, as a responsibility, as far as that office is concerned of the pastor, they are to give an account to God, you know, about us. And, you know, but they are a gift to us. And so we have a responsibility towards God for them, to pray for them, all the things that we've talked about tonight. And even, you know, looking in these prayers and these scriptural prayers that Paul had us talk about or look at, you know, to pray for them. Part of what they do, there's also an apostolic call that's on them where they start ministries or start arms of ministry. We have a ministry in Chile and in another country. We have something else that's coming up, you know, possibly in Canada with Bible Institute, praise the Lord. And so they forge out ahead. And if you know the early settlers of our nation, you know, they had to fight through things to get to where they were going. And in them going out west, so to speak, they forged a way or pressed through things to make a way for others to come. Which means they took the brunt of things first. They took the blows of things first so that others can come and have the same freedoms and enjoy the same things that they did. So in our prayers tonight, let's do that. Let's protect them. Let's watch over them. These things that we prayed, where are my usher guys at? I have a handout that has a lot of these scriptures that are on it that we talked about tonight and some other things. These are things that I keep with me. If you want these prayers, I've already did the legwork for you. All you got to do is pray them. So if you want them, raise your hand and the guys, they will get them to you. And so just as you're receiving them, just listen. And so, you know, I keep these with me. I keep one in my car. I got one at my desk. I have one on my mirror in my bathroom at home to pray for them, you know. And again, if you don't have extended time to pray for them, make mention of them in your prayers until you have extended time to do so. And so, Father, we just lift up our pastors to you tonight. We thank you for the word of God that you've given us throughout the New Testament to pray for them, for utterance, for unction, for boldness, to open their mouth. Father, that the word of God would have free course, that they be delivered from wicked, unreasonable men, that the word of God be delivered from those who do not believe. Father, I just thank you that they are refreshed, that they are in the will of God, that they have the joy of the Lord, which is their strength about them. Father, I thank you for helping them in every area of their life where they go out ahead and make a way. Father, I thank you that you even show them what is urgent, what is important, what is it that they need to do at the moment and in the time. Father, I thank you that you refresh their bodies. Father, I thank you that their bodies are strengthened by the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. Father, I thank you that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in Cornerstone Word of Life Church and in this 25 years of ministry. Father, I thank you that you're preparing them for the race that is out ahead, that you are preparing a people for the coming of the Lord and all the things that are that is involved in that, that you maximize the effectiveness on their ministry, that the things that are lying dormant in them, Father, we call forth those giftings. We call forth those things that you put in them for this time, that you've held in reserve for now, for us, for those that are coming. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, that we forge forth, that we go ahead, that we go out ahead. And Father, all the things that you have for us, the pressing that they do, Father, I thank you that you are pressing them forward, that you're there's a forward motion, there's a continued motion. And Father, in Colossians, it talks about that there's a door of utterance that's open to them, but there are many adversaries. So we protect them against the adversaries tonight. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus around them, that wherever they are and whatever they're doing, that the blood of Jesus protects them and cares for them and takes care of them. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus is against anything that's imposing them, that would try to come against them. Father, we're so grateful for the gifts that you've given us. Father, show us and give us revelation of how to take care of them even more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So grateful. So grateful to you. Hallelujah. I want to read this to you very quickly. I was reading this. I'm reading through the book of Acts. And so this morning in my devotions, I came across this. This is Acts chapter 4. Just popped up in my heart. And it says in verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions," or their own company, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had done to them." Now, this is Peter and John, leaders in the body of Christ at that time, that were receiving persecution that was coming against them because they healed somebody. This man was over 40 years old and they prayed for his legs. He was leaping and jumping and praising God, and the leaders of the day did not like it. So they grilled him, let him go, and they went back to their own company. And who is their own company, our pastor's company? Us, right here together. And it says, "So when they heard that they had raised one voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God,' and made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Now, when I was reading this, that word "with one accord and one voice" stood out to me. And this is the Spirit-Filled Life Bible by Jack Hayford. And this is what he said. He said, "One voice, the power of unity." The third and fourth chapters of Acts relate the story of the first major crisis faced by the early church. Peter and John were in prison and then warned by the Jewish leaders to never again mention the name of Jesus. Instead of fleeing for their lives or separating from their brothers and sisters, they went immediately to the church and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. The members of the body of Christ responded together by raising their voice to God in prayer with one accord. This is a vivid example of the kind of spiritual unity that results in the lives of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who walk in the Spirit. So instead of scattering and hiding so that the chief priests and all those folks wouldn't get them, they came back together and strengthened one another in prayer. And in one voice, and even just giving you the scriptures that we gave you, it helps us in one voice, even when we're not together, in unity, pray up to God together. These scriptures, which strengthens our pastors, would give them, and it says with all boldness, they pray even more for boldness. After they got together in unity and started praying. And it said the place that they were in was shaken. There's an earthquake. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Hallelujah. And then more miracles and more signs and wonders. And people getting born again. And added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. With one voice and one accord in unity, all of us praying together. Amen.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.